Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Elmos Podcast. I am your host, Gabrielle Love. We are back with another episode. You are going to love this episode. I'm going to love this episode. I think this is going to be a very colorful one, and I won't tell you why just yet. But we've got an incredible guest with us, Tat from Tat's House, and you're going to find out all about that. Tat, welcome to the Elmos Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and please feel free to take a moment or two to introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Yeah, my name is Tatiana, aka Tat. Everyone calls me Tat. I own a beauty studio in Vancouver. So basically, I work for myself. I do manicures, so nail extensions, nail art, makeup, and lash extensions. And that's beautiful. That's the short version.
Cool. I'm going to start this off with a question. So I live in a collective house, and one of my housemates has been asking this question to pretty much everyone he meets. And yesterday I recorded another episode with someone else, and that was the first time I'm stealing that line. That was the first time I used this question. So I'm going to ask you, if you were a flavor, and it could be any flavor, what flavor would you be?
Ooh, oh my God. I feel like this is quite deep. Oh my God, because there's so many varieties. Okay, Jamaican pica pepper sauce.
Ooh, okay.
It's delightful. And I feel like it's like a variety of different flavors. Like, and you can put it on lots of stuff.
Yeah, and is it spicy too?
It's like spicy and sweet. Like it has like it has a vinegar kind of twang to it, but it's also kind of sweet, but also has like a bit of spice. Like maybe somebody white would be like, "Oh, this is spicy," but like I don't think it's spicy. It's on the sweeter side, I'd say. It's not like a Jamaican hot sauce, that's for sure.
Okay, so is that how you would describe yourself? A little bit of sweet, a little bit of spice.
Definitely.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. That's great. Okay. Well, first of all, how's your day going?
Pretty good. I got some stuff done around the house. I had therapy. Took my dog out a couple times. I feel good. I ate. That's very important. I ate twice. That's a really big deal for me. I can be really forgetful to feed myself on a regular basis if I'm doing a bunch of things. So if I have like a day where I'm like, okay, I have to be here and do this at this time. And if I actually remember to eat in those times, that's like an extra win for the day.
Yeah, it sure is. That's a lot of us. I have a feeling that's a lot of us. Yesterday, I didn't eat all day, not until like 4 o'clock. And today I ate at like, it was noon. I ate at noon. Yes. It was nice.
Yeah, it's important. It's important, but it's easy to forget. Like I feel like it's people that are like, yeah, every once in a while I'll talk about it. And people are like, oh, I could never forget to eat. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you because my mind is going like 1,000 miles a minute. And sometimes I'm just like, I just brush over that thought that I'm supposed to feed myself. I'm like, I'll just drink some water. And then 4 hours have passed. I'm like, oh crap. I was supposed to eat, yep. You know, to live. This is the whole thing.
Yep. Well, at least you're drinking water.
Oh, I drink a lot of water. I think that's my saving grace.
It definitely is. Because water is probably more important than food.
Probably. And I'm that really annoying person that like yells at everybody to drink water. Like I get so mad. And it's like when people are complaining about all types of things, I'm just like, when was the last time you had water? They're like, oh, a couple days. I'm like, oh, really? So you're tired and your head hurts and you're, you know, you feel a little bit foggy. I wonder why. Maybe because your body is 70% water and you haven't had water in 2 days.
That's exactly right. I think we all need you as a cheerleader, a water cheerleader in our life.
Yeah, I'm a cheerleader, but I'm so aggressive about it after a while for like my best friend. Like I'm so mean to her about it.
I would welcome it. I mean, if I could get myself to drink more water, I'd welcome anything.
People don't want to do it because they don't want to have to pee too much. That's a common thing that I hear, which is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, there's that.
There's also just... like for me, it's just sort of I'm doing all this stuff and getting up and going to get water is just 5 minutes that I could use doing something else. And if I just keep doing that throughout the day, that's like an hour. I don't know.
I've never thought about it. I never thought about it in the time. Don't. I've never thought about it in the time way. I never thought about it.
Yeah. Cool. So Tat's House, let's start there. How did that happen? How long have you been running this beautiful beauty studio? And how long have you been in that industry?
Well, I guess I've been like officially running it on my own for like about 2 years coming up soon. But like I was kind of like running my business out of someone else's business before. Like I had my own Instagram for a really long time. Like even though I worked for somebody else, I still did like a lot of like the promoting and stuff for myself. And then especially when it came to nails. Yeah, that was like even longer. But I've had the goal of working for myself since I was like really, really young, probably like 6 or 7 or something like that. I don't know. Wow. When you can like remember things.
Yep.
And like it was, I was always couldn't figure out what industry I wanted to be in. And like, I remember kind of wanting to have a spa when I was probably like 13 or something like that. And then I wanted to have like a hair salon. And then I did like a work experience at a hair salon. And I was kind of like, eh, people get so mad about their hair. Like when you fuck it up, like, oh my God, like it's just kind of, people get so mad. So I was just like, I don't think I need that vibe. And like, I just didn't really like the hair salon like setting. And then I just, I don't know, it kind of turned into, and then I learned makeup. And that was like when I was probably like 19-ish. And then I wanted to work in the same industry. So I learned how to do lash extensions and nails at the same time. I took a job learning lash extensions. And then I went to Blanche McDonald for makeup school in like 2009. And then went to Blanche McDonald again for nail school. I guess it was like 2012 or 13 or something like that. And I remember kind of like, because I always knew I had the goal of wanting to like work for myself, even though it felt kind of crazy to outsiders. But I was like, I wanted it to be kind of like a late night nail salon, like a place for like the weekends and like after hours. Cause like, I don't really like getting anywhere for like 10 a.m. But you know, I guess if you'll pay me, I will. But like, yeah, I just thought it would be like, cool. Like come get your nails done at Tat's house. Like it's the house of Tat. Like you come hang out with me and like, you could bring your friend when we were allowed to have like other people around, you know, have some drinks, maybe we just get to like hang out, listen to what you want and like maybe watch what you want or like just do whatever you want. Just like have a good time, talk about whatever you want and like be really creative. And yeah. And that was before I even like finished nail school. I think I had the name Tat's House before I even, maybe even before I started, but definitely before I finished, worked different places. And then just kind of was like, I need to just leave this last salon that I'm at. It just came to like a breaking point. And then I had a couple interviews and I was like, I can't, I can't work for anyone else anymore. I cannot do it. Like now is the time. Like it's now or never basically. And yeah, worked out of a different space for a little bit, two different spaces for a little bit. And then those ones didn't work out. And I just kept kind of like, people kept kind of being like, this is the way it has to be. This is the level you have to be. Like, you can't want all these things and be who you are, kind of like almost just saying, I can't do things. And when people tell me I can't do things, I try even harder, a little bit out of spite. So yeah, when someone was kind of like, this is the price I want you to pay for this space and what is available and it might go up and all this stuff. And I was like, nah, I can make it happen in another way. And I just like all of this, everything that I did, and especially finding the last space that I'm in, I now share this space with another woman that has her own company. It all kind of happened in a way that it was like now or never, like a complete like survival mode. I didn't have a major plan or anything like that. Everything just, I was just kind of like, I want to do this. I'm going to bring this other friend in to do this with me. And I got help getting the space. And it was the first place that we looked at and they gave it to us right away and everything just kind of fell into place. But also I made shit.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. There's a lot to unpack there. But first of all, so you're 6 or 7 years old or however far back you can remember. And you're like, what, walking around going, someday I'm going to own my own business?
Yeah.
I love that. Like, what? That's like, I was talking to trees back then. I was not thinking about that.
But I ran businesses in those trees.
That's what you were doing with the trees. That's incredible. Is there a lot of stuff from sort of your childhood that is now like in your life now? We're still very much present in your life?
Yeah, I guess so. Because I've always like taken my like personal style pretty seriously, not in the way to like fit in or whatever. It was just kind of like, if I have like the perfect outfit, and it's always been the thing, like there's videos of me at like 2, like choosing my outfit and then like folding my clothing perfectly and putting it back in the drawer. Like I just took it so seriously. Once I had like, you know, the right color or the right fit or whatever, I would just like, the way that makes me feel is like very, very special. So yeah, I guess I express myself with my appearance, but yeah, I guess so. That is always kind of like carried on in life. But like wanting to like work for myself has just kind of been like, I don't know. I always found, even when I was working for like people when they were like way older than me, I was like, oh, these people are just kind of stupid and I have all these ideas and I don't want to be stuck in the same economic situation that everyone like my family is in. So how do I do that? Like, I just wanted to like, I just wanted more. I wanted like, I was very like women empowerment from a really young age and stuff. I watched a lot of like movies about like boss ladies and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, I just wanted to be a boss lady. I just thought it was the coolest. Maybe that also like came from like having a single mom and stuff like that. It just kind of, I knew that I had to make stuff happen. And how do you make stuff happen? You like work for yourself and take risks, I guess.
Yeah. Totally. Well, I'd love to hear about like where you shop, but also what kinds of challenges, like what are some of the challenges that you kind of faced along that process of really like stepping into your like, you know, women empowerment boss self?
Yeah.
What kind of things helped?
I grew up with not much. But I grew up around a lot of people that had a lot. So it's like I ended up going to like a private school where I had no sense being. I grew up in North Van where I had no sense being. I was born in Ontario, moved around a lot of places, divorced and whatever. family stuff. So yeah, I moved around a lot and then ended up settling in North Van with my mom in like 1997. And just like, I don't know if it's her dreamer mentality or what, but we were just always kind of around people that had like so much more. Like people, like I was like friends with a girl, their family like took a year off to travel the world and stuff. And like, you know, own houses in Whistler and get to travel all the time. So it's just, it was definitely hard to have to know how much harder that I have to work to like have simple things, you know, like $500 to me is a big deal, but $500 to most of my friends, you know, wasn't a big thing. I didn't have someone to like give me chunks of money to like start my makeup career. I had to like work at the same time when I was in school, buy all my kit, work while I'm trying to do all this stuff on the side. And yeah, like I basically had to slowly build my nail kit, slowly build my makeup kit, and then have to build it back up again because like COVID happened and stuff like that. So it's like a slow build for me. And I'm finally like being okay that I had a slower build than other people around me because I don't realize how much people have been given because you don't see it, right? Like you don't, people don't, like those people don't necessarily talk about all that they've been given. They're just like, I worked really hard and like blah, blah, blah. But it's like, yo, you were in a totally different situation than me. Like you didn't move out like early. And when you did, like you had, like, you know, it's like you have a huge safety net that I did not have. And I worked so hard for a reason. And like, it's always been hard to have to be friends, like grow up with people like that. Like, multiple house people.
That's what you call them. The multiple house people.
Multiple, it's like, oh yeah, we have like a lake house, but it's not like a big deal. And it's like, I don't have one house, you know, I don't have one car, you know, like,
The irony is that like at sort of at the end of that, or I mean, it's not the end yet, but now you are so much stronger, so much wiser. You have so many more skills, way more resourceful, all of these different, like, probably very helpful qualities because you had no choice but to develop them.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't look back and like, ho-hum, like, honestly, because it's like in the journey, I wasn't definitely thinking at the time. I was like, everything's so much harder than for me. Like, this is bullshit, you know? Like, I've just had people like later in life being like, don't you realize like how much harder everything has been for you? Or just like, yeah, I don't think about being like a Black woman. I didn't think about me just having my general personality or like my opinions or not giving a fuck type of attitude. Like, I don't think about those things as being a negative, but they can be to other people, you know? So I didn't really like think about those things. So I didn't feel like negatively about it. Like sometimes I get down. I'm just like, why does everything, like it just felt like everything takes so long. And like I make a little baby step and then it just, you know, takes me another year to make even another baby step. But it's not like I don't have someone that's just handing me a chunk of money to like invest in everything. Like I've just been working at it over the years.
I hear you. You've been working at it. So at what point did you clue in to the fact that you have actually worked significantly harder than a lot of other people?
Probably not until like last year, this year, the best.
I'm laughing because like, Agreed. Me too.
Like, no, just didn't like think about it. Like, I just like, I'm just like, I don't know. I have a certain drive. I strive to be better than myself. Like, I'm like, I get down that like, that other people like get ahead of me faster, but I didn't really like think about the rest. I'm just like, what the fuck? Yep. Like, I'm like, of course that bitch, like, you know, I was like, look at her. She's like the perfect little white lady. And she can spend like a bunch of money on buying a bunch of clothing to then make a fashion blog. Like, of course. Yeah. It's like, if I was like, wanted to do that, that would take me forever. I don't have money to, like, you know what I mean? Like, all of my clothing is like from like 8 years ago. Like, I'm not like a shopper. Like, it's just, it's funny. Yeah. And I just don't really think about it. They're never going to admit how much help they had.
Yeah.
That no, struggle is not cool. Like,
struggle's not cool. yeah, you know, like, I'm happy with this new perspective. Like, this last year or so has definitely shifted a lot of things for me in terms of like what I'm now aware of that I wasn't aware of before. And that awareness has definitely increased my sort of like the depth of my relationship with myself, like really acknowledging and recognizing my own qualities and my strengths. An example of like being a hard worker and working hard and all that stuff, because I wasn't necessarily viewing myself from that perspective of, oh, you're actually like doing a lot and you're doing like really well and like, you know, considering like what hasn't been handed to you,
yeah,
like you're actually doing better than a lot of other people. So that, like, that's worth recognizing. It's important to recognize that. And it's also equally important to recognize that a lot of people are being handed things and things are just a lot easier. It's not unreasonable to expect certain things or certain people to do well.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just tell with some people, like, I don't know, this one girl that's like stuck in my mind. We were like aggressive best friends. Like, she traveled, the one that traveled the world and stuff like that. Like, I just remember looking at her and I'm just like, you're for sure going to be like famous-ish or something, you know? Like, it's just like, you're just like, you look exactly the way that the world wants a famous person, you know? And it's like her styling tips and tricks and stuff that I like think about and stuff like that for like vacations or whatever. And I was like, I bet you learned that from your Filipino house cleaner. Like, who was lovely, you know? But it's like, of course your house was all like neat and tidy and all your clothing was put away. It was put into your room, folded nice, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, okay. What is something similar to this that you can talk someone's ear off about?
Oh, anything. I don't know.
Anything.
Anything that makes me laugh. Like, I tend to, like, go off. Like, I don't know. I'm always trying to, like, entertain myself. And I usually just want to make at least one other person laugh that has the same sort of dark sense of humor-ish, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm talking to like five people or whatever, and I only make that one person laugh. I'm like, cool. That means like, we can hang out now. But if other people just think I'm intense and weird, that's okay.
Oh my God. Where do you think you get this attitude of not caring what anyone thinks of you or what, I mean, I'm sure there's some part of you that cares, but you know, that attitude of just being yourself, like unapologetically.
I think because it's like, I did end up going to like, probably like five or so schools before I was like 10 and just like moving, like we moved like probably every year for a while and stuff. And I mean, the only consistency was like me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've always like really enjoyed time by myself, and I've always been a really like introspective person. And like, yeah, for the few years, people have definitely tried to like beat it out of my personality. Like I definitely had friends growing up, that would like try and like put me down or like point out when I was being too much or too weird. And every once in a while, like I'll get self-conscious about it. If someone's just like, whoa, okay. Or like, you're excited or like calm down or like thinks I'm getting mad about something in a serious way. When I'm just like, I just think it's funny to get like a bit riled up about things. I don't know. It makes people, laugh. It makes me laugh. And also I like to just get things off my chest, but I don't know. I have a weird sister. My mom's pretty weird. Everyone's pretty weird in my family. And like their parents, we're all mentally ill, but we're fairly charismatic people. So that's cool. But I don't know, just over the years, no matter how many times someone tried to like put me down, in the end, I'm the person that I'm left with. So I might as well enjoy my time.
Exactly. How does that play into your racial identity? What is the connection between, for an example, I know that for me growing up, there was definitely like this narrative that the black kid in class, for whatever reason, was the loudest or the troublemaker or whatever.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't, they weren't actually.
Yeah.
They for some reason would end up being the scapegoat because there was that narrative. And so like often this happens, we end up internalizing certain aspects of various narratives. And so I'm wondering, in the context of you and people trying to tell you that maybe you need to slow down or calm down or whatever, how does that relate to your racial identity?
I knew I was mixed race. You know, my dad's a black dude, you know, and then my mom is like part black. So she looks different too, but she doesn't look like a black lady, but she doesn't look all white. So it's just like, we're a little confusing. And for whatever reason, I always took everything that was different about myself as like a positive, like family life and stuff. It's like a ditzy quality of mine that it's like, I almost don't even notice when people are being mean to me or something, or that people are like treating me like I'm being too loud because I'm like the black girl, or like telling me to like calm down, like at a movie theater or something like that. It's only when I look back like years later, it's like my sister will point out something. She's like, did you not think that they did that or said that, or like we're following you because you're fucking black? And I was like, no, I just, and also I'm really tall too. So it's just like, I'm just a scene. It's really funny because it's like probably not until the last couple of years have I paid more attention to it. And then it's like made me a bit extra angry because it's like, I didn't realize there was so much of this veiled racism and like microaggressions that I dealt with most of my life. Didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
Which is a bit nice.
Totally. But it was nice at the time.
Yeah. But to think about it, I'm just like, oh man. Like, I'd make jokes about people being like low-key racist, like when people, you know, like just to make my friends uncomfortable or something. Just, you know, they'd say something that I didn't like and I'd be like racist. Just because I grew up around mostly white people too. That's the thing. Yeah, I didn't get to start having like black friends until like, yeah, later in life. I had like family members and stuff in Ontario and stuff. I remember being in Ontario and feeling like super black because I was just around. Yeah, I did feel different when I moved to Vancouver, but a lot of the stuff I just thought we were always just, we're just quirky and weird already. So I just never really thought like people be complaining about me being loud to do anything with my skin color. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally
with you. Or just like, yeah, I mean, when it comes to like getting riled up about stuff, like there's certain things that it's just like, that's very Jamaican about me. And like, that will piss me off when someone's like, calm down, or like, you're yelling. I'm like, that's not me yelling. You'll know when I'm yelling. And then I'm like, wow, I sound exactly like my dad. Yeah, there's definitely certain things that just culturally, you know, my dad is an immigrant. I never really thought about that until this year either.
Oh my gosh, you never thought about that.
No, my dad has an accent and he just like, you know, but he's been in Canada for like 30 years. But it's just like, I just was preoccupied with so many other things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my mom is very Canadian, but like she had an immigrant mother, a Hungarian immigrant mother. But like my dad is a straight up like immigrant. Straight up. And like he has an accent and people treat him differently. And like to people definitely, like I did kind of notice every once in a while, like because my dad wasn't always around. And that if people not understanding what my ethnicity was definitely something I noticed and dealt with and just answered that question, like, what are you, all the time. Mm-hmm. Didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, people are interested in stuff. But then when people like would see my dad, I'd be like, that's your dad. And then I'd be like, oh, and then you kind of see people like connecting stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's a bit weird. Like, why do you need to know so bad? People need to know so bad. They want to put you in the
certain box. Why do they need to know?
Why do you need to know? Like, I don't walk around and be like, what shade of white are you? Like, I don't understand. Like, when I see an interesting person, maybe you should, ooh, but you're so beautiful or whatever. But like, it's not the first thing that's like, I need to know their family background. Like, I don't know why it's like a question that people so freely ask, like, what are you?
Yeah. Well, why do you think that? I definitely have an opinion on why, but I'd like to hear your opinion.
From like a nice base level, it's like, oh, people are just curious, but it's also they want to put you in a certain box so they can like put a certain stereotype on you and like understand what you are. And like, even just like with those words, like, what are you? It's like, I'm a human. Why do you care? To me, it's just kind of like they're waiting to judge you when they ask that question.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I think that's the one line that's the only line that's important here. They're waiting to judge you. And it's unfortunate. And it's not, I think half the time it's not even conscious. It's just an unconscious, like, thing that we learned to do. A lot of us did.
Yeah.
Tell us about something that you're excited about in your life right now.
Oh, I just got a teaching job at Blanche McDonald's.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're going back to school?
You went to teach. Yeah. And like that was always something that I wanted to like do, but I thought it would like happen like later, but I'm not mad about it now, you know? They approached me, so it was like, you know, I still had to go through the motions of like getting the job and stuff, putting giving my resume, going for the interview, doing all the stuff or whatever, but there was like a 0.1% chance that they wouldn't hire me. I didn't really think it wasn't going to happen. But yeah, it just all happened super duper fast. I had the interview and then I was just thrown into the class like the next day. I mean, they did ask if I would be fine with it. The thing with me is that I don't really think about things until they're happening.
You just do them.
Which is kind of cool. Like I'll just kind of like, I just go full force if I've decided to do something. I'm like, yeah, sure, cool, whatever. And then when I've described it to people, they're like, oh my God, that's kind of scary. But yeah, I just went in, 18 kids, talked to them. She just like asked me to explain something. Didn't give me like warning or anything. And I just had to like off the top of my head, explain it. And then went around and just like helped a bunch of people. And it was really fun. It was really fun. It was really scary. I get more scared about having to do the behind the scenes stuff because I want to do everything perfectly. And I don't want to be in the way and I want to do my best and whatever. Cause I have like perfectionist issues and imposter syndrome issues that I'm working on. Yeah, I'm super excited and it's like really cool that everybody wants me to be there and they have so much like hope for me and like the big ideas and they're just, everyone's just super excited I'm there and it's kind of surreal.
Oh my God. I am smiling. This is so exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Honestly, this is like really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. Like I'm having a hard time like being like, yeah, it's really cool. Like it's really cool that everyone's getting so excited for me because that's cool. I'll take it that way. But it's one of those things that I get really like, I do get really like humble and weird about things. So I'm just Yeah, it's cool.
I totally understand. Okay, here's what we're going to do for like the next 2 minutes. You're going to take the next 2 minutes to really own how cool this actually is.
Oh no.
And tell us how cool it actually is from a very sincere place.
It's going to make me cry. Okay. Oh my God. It's cool because people that taught me want me to be there. I didn't apply for this. They asked me to be there. I didn't know so many people were watching me like online. That's just really cool that like I just do my thing on the internet and every once in a while someone tells me to like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be so yourself. And I go for about 30 seconds, maybe they're right. And then I tell that person to fuck off because that's just who I want to be and that's what I want to do. And like it's actually kind of working. So that's insane and really cool. They just want me to be myself, but like in a professional manner, which is cool. Yeah, that someone believes that I'm good at what I do and that people want to learn from me and someone thinks I'm an expert. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's weird. And I might get to teach makeup as well too, which would be really cool as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So the other day I was doing some self-reflection and meditating and stuff. And one of the things that I was kind of reflecting on was how many parts of my life, or actually I'll rephrase this, in how many ways am I still the child that I was when I was a little girl? And specifically in the context of like, as a little girl, being excited and curious and wanting to play and being playful and wanting to connect with people and wanting people to like me and wanting to, well, the people that I like to like me, not everybody, but the way in which that just kind of carried over throughout adulthood. And I used to think that that was an unhealthy thing and a bad thing and yada, yada, yada. And some of it was. For the most part, the other day I was reflecting and I realized actually I retained a lot of that sweet innocence that was present there. And a lot of that is still very much true today. And so when I hear you share about this beautiful thing that's happening in your life, I think to myself, wow, people really like you. People really think you're doing a good job. People think you're doing a great job. Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. Cool.
It is cool, but there's like a monster that lives in the back of my head that says like, oh no, you can't do that. Like, I don't ever, like, fully listen to it, because obviously I wouldn't do everything that I do, but it lives there. It's a fight. It's a fight with that little, I need to name it. I named it one time, and I think me and my friend named it something hilarious, and I can't remember what it was, but it felt really good to name the little angry monster that lives in my head that's negative and rude and tells me that, like, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. I need to find a name that sticks, because, yeah, I just yell at it sometimes, you know? Like, just back off. Back off. This is a good thing, and I'm allowed to feel good about it. And people ask me to be there, and yes, I'm good at it.
Exactly. Well, if the name comes back to you, let us know. I definitely want to know the name. If you want to come up with it now, go for it. But
I feel like it needs to be like a short syllable thing, you know, like Vlad or something.
Okay. Vlad. Can you see yourself yelling Vlad?
No, not really. It just made me laugh. What else? No, I don't know. Like, maybe it's a Karen. Maybe it's just straight up Karen. She's just an asshole. But I also feel like it's a dude, though.
Do you think it's a dude? Interesting.
Yeah. Because he's not, doesn't really have, like, Karen energy, but it's also, like, it's really fun to be like, fuck off, Karen.
I mean, you could call a dude Karen.
Yeah, so that's true. That would also make it pretty mad. I have too many, when I name, all of the things of me naming things is, like, happy things or things that make me laugh. So all the names I can think of, it's like, no, I like to name things, like, in a happy way, like Steve. Like, Steve is funny to name, like, a lamp Steve or a plant Steve or something. But I don't want to name it my angry monster Steve. I don't know. It'll happen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it will happen someday. It will happen someday. So I assume this is one of the reasons you go to therapy.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people don't, well, actually people have been talking about it more, but I think of like 10 years ago, nobody talked about therapy.
Not so much, no.
So let's talk about therapy. Well, first of all, what does it mean to you? Why is therapy in your life?
Well, it kind of just fell into my lap. I have a jilted relationship with my mother, and her therapist actually reached out to me to have a mediation, which I said no to, which he super respected and has not pushed me on it at all. And then in the end, he was like, I can offer you free therapy through like government grant or something like that. And I was just like, yeah, okay, cool. Cause I've always wanted to go, like every time I've gone before, I've just felt kind of like, not like it's like wasted time or anything, but just more like it's, for what I could afford, I was kind of getting like a graduate. And like the last time I got one, she was cool, but she felt kind of like meek. And I didn't really feel like she was like help, like telling me much that I didn't know about myself already. Yeah. But I was already locked in. And like, yes, I could have changed it. But that's also part of my anxiety. Like, I'm too lazy to go around and like do all that extra stuff. I'm like kind of like, once I started doing it, that's already a big step that I did it. And like, no, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I don't like you. I'm going to go to a new therapist. Like, that makes me feel like I want to die. So I'm just going to stick with this. And I went it through and it was like, okay, it helped with like whatever small thing I was dealing with at the time. But it was like, I think I went twice a month because that's all I wanted to afford. But now in this scenario, it's on the phone. It's every week. The guy's like old and he's been doing it for a really long time. So I just feel like, you know, he can pick up things on what I'm saying. And he's just been like pointed out things that I was just like, huh, I never thought about that way. Or like, yeah. It just didn't, as much as I'm just kind of like downloading on him, he's like asking me like, well, let's talk about this more or whatever. It didn't really feel like I'm just like talking to myself almost and like paying someone. And then also like taking the extra money out of it, like really helps because like I get stressed about money because like I'm trying to do all this stuff and like all of my money goes towards me trying to like progress my life. And it just didn't feel like not a priority, but it just wasn't a thing that I wanted to spend money on basically. And now I wish it was free for everyone. That would be so much easier, honestly, because it's like, you know, like I don't know how long I'll need it. Like, and any time I've met, like even someone that's like a health professional, like a counselor or something like that, they're not even like counseling me. Within 5 minutes, people are telling me I should be like a therapist or whatever. Oh, you should have been this. I'm like, I know, I get it, but I didn't have the money and I didn't do it. Okay. And like the same thing happened with him as well. And it's like, yeah, I understand that. I am very self-aware and introspective and all these things, but it doesn't mean I don't struggle. And sometimes I just need to like get it out. Mm-hmm. So it's good for like getting it out. But like, I feel like there'll be a point where I'm like, I'm good, bro. I've always strived to like work on myself and like, you know, there's times where it's like up and down, but like I got a dog. I work out. I try and feed myself properly. I try and like, you know, drink water, keep my house clean and like follow my dreams. Like I feel like I do all the things that you're supposed to do to have like good, nice mentality. But fundamentally, there's things that I will always struggle with because I'm not exactly what is the, not neurodivergent, what's the other one? Neurotypical.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, like, you know, like I just, you know, wires are crossed. There's things that I will struggle with, but it's good to have someone like to talk to, and I wish more people could, didn't have to spend like $500 a month on it kind of thing. I wish it was offered for other people, and I wish the stuff that was free wasn't so shit, because I've done the free stuff where you have to like go to like a intake center at the hospital, and that's like triggering for a lot of people, and it's just, you just feel like you're getting pushed through, and yeah, it takes a while to find the right people, and the mental health system here is definitely not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I'm with you on the, there are certain things that we maybe just have to accept or learn to be with. Yeah, at least for me, I can say there's also something actually pretty rewarding about that self-acceptance in learning to accept certain things like neurodivergence. Accepting that is actually a really beautiful thing. And it, at least for me, like I feel a lot more liberated. Like, I'm not trying to change a lot of it. I'm just not trying to change it anymore. Kind of just, this is cool.
The more I learn about myself, I'm like, okay, well, let's just, like, work around that then. Or, like, you know, it's just kind of, like, realizing when certain things are happening and just being like, okay, like, you can calm down. Like, you have gotten through things before. I know it feels like you're not going to right now, but you will. You've lived this long. But, like, yeah, I'll still, like... it seems like I can deal with really difficult things very easily, but like small things can like really throw me sometimes, and it can be really confusing and surprising to some people, but it's just like, it'll happen. Like I can only handle so much, and most people wouldn't understand how much a person is dealing with. Most people, like, you know, like most people just don't know what people are dealing with. So yeah. A small thing like getting your freaking coat caught on your door can, like, you know, really just like ruin your day. Like, it's like, oh, I can't find my keys, and I'll just lie down on the floor. Like, I can't handle anymore. I'm broken now. Like, you know, like I just can't handle anymore, and I'll just fully just like break down. But I'm not ashamed of crying, and I'm not ashamed of like my freakouts anymore. And I'm just kind of like, it happens. Move on. Like, I will get through it. It's okay.
Yeah. But how did you learn to do that?
I mean, they just keep happening. Like, I just have to. Like, yeah. I just have to. Like, there's times where, like, honestly, most of the time, because sometimes I won't, like, show all of it on Instagram, but, like, there'll be times where I'll have been, like, crying earlier in the day, and then 5 hours later, I'm laughing so hard about something. Why I like to put it in a public setting, I don't know. It just makes me laugh. And, like, a lot of the times I get messages from people just being like, oh, that made me feel better, or, like, it just made me – I just like making people feel, like, less alone or something. I don't know what it is. But then I, like, look back and I'm like, wow, I was so upset earlier. And now I'm just, like, having a really great time. Like, it's just – I don't know. It's like a weird journal that I get to look back on, and it makes me just realize that, like, I don't know that I can get out of it, but it will happen again, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's no point of me – extra overanalyzing things, extra freaking out about things that kind of almost like naturally happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't like stop like anxiety taking over your body, like, because sometimes it can be really physical. It's not always like mental too. So I don't know. I just ride the wave, I guess.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think there's definitely something powerful about you being able to step back and see this as sort of this thing that's happening, rather than like making it super personal in a way where, like, say you had a moment, there was a freak out or whatever, and then you hold on to that moment for the next 3 days and that's all you think about, because that just kind of prolongs that one moment. Where if you're riding the wave, well, you're riding the wave.
Yeah. Because it's just, I don't know, sometimes there's no point of like really fighting it, and like, you must, like, I just kind of feel like sometimes if I'm feeling those emotions, then I either need to, like, work through something, or, yeah, it's just going to happen. So, like, what's the point of fighting it sometimes? Because it makes it worse to fight it, in my opinion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I'm about to cry about something, like, what's the point of me holding it back? Like, I might as well just cry about it.
Yeah, you might as well. I agree. So here's the thing. So see, you're a business owner, which kind of now gives you certain privileges of, you know, well, I mean, like, you get to choose when you work, which a lot of people don't. And I'm really just saying, an employee versus a business owner, there are differences in like the kinds of freedoms that you have. And so for a person that maybe is working somewhere and, you know, they have very strict hours or very strict sort of like limitations, if they're going through these waves and having these experiences, I think it's way more difficult because now you're either trying to suppress it, you're trying to like mask it, trying to hide things, like you're navigating all of these experiences you're having within this like confined space, which can be very challenging. So I'm wondering, as a business owner, how has that changed for you? Like, how has that impacted your ability to navigate your life and these different experiences? And how do you create the space at Tat's House for others to, you know, create a safe space for them?
I think I've always just been a person that people tell everything to. Like, oh my God, the amount of times I've been stuck in a bathroom talking to some rando about like their life story, or like some person just meets me and then 10 minutes later they're telling me something they've never told someone before. Like, I don't know what it is about me, but it happens and I don't care. I think maybe sometimes I need to like care a little bit more because I just like people just like trauma dump on me sometimes. And like, I didn't think that was a thing or thought it was something I was supposed to care about. But yeah, I just like people like, I just love when people like come in and they just like, oh my God, someone at work pissed me off, and they just like tell me about all these small little things that piss them off about their day, or like someone in their family, or even like big things. Like, I love that. Like, and it makes people feel better. And like, then they also get like a pretty thing at the end. I don't know. I just felt like I kind of mixed like me being potentially a really great therapist into something pretty as well. But I don't know. I guess like, because for so long, I knew that I didn't want to be in like a big environment, like a big corporate environment. I knew that just like wasn't something I wanted. And I usually would also have multiple jobs, so I wouldn't have to be somewhere longer than like I didn't really like being one place like 5 days a week. That just wasn't my thing. And then also I kind of always went into the mindset of like the jobs that I had, I was like, I'll leave you if I want. Like, if you're not going to give me good time off, I'll just quit. Like, this is a bar job, this is a retail job. Like, you don't care, I don't care. You're only paying me this much. Like, I don't want to live here forever. Like, that's not what I want. So that's always kind of been my mentality since I was probably like 12. Because I just knew I couldn't do that kind of thing. I don't know how, I honestly don't know how people work around, like, I've worked around, like, multiple people. Like, I've worked in environments where I work with other people. But, like, in, like, a big company, I literally don't know how people do that. I don't know. Go to the bathroom. Like, I would probably cry in the bathroom a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I would do a lot of crying in the bathroom. Yeah. But, like, the cool thing about, like, having a job where it's, like, you work at these times and these hours, you know, and then you have these exact days off, like, that's cool. And then you can like plan your life. I think it sucks that you have to like ask for time off and they only give you so much time off. That sucks. But there's other benefits to like the other security of like all that other parts of working for somebody else. I've always wanted the extra freedom, so I didn't really care about the other securities.
Yeah, it's extra freedom and extra responsibility.
Exactly. It's not like my brain ever stops thinking about it, but yeah. I used to, at least, even when I was working for other people, I was also thinking about what I wanted to do for myself in that way. So at least now I don't have to have two like jobs on my mind at all times. I just have myself and what I want on my mind, which is like, I don't know, it freed up some space, which sounds crazy, but yeah, I was doing double time before, so.
Yeah, I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense. Are you into any movies or TV shows or books at the moment?
I'm like the worst for that stuff. I like to like watch something that I don't have to pay attention to. I'm very much like, I'm a person that'll like rewatch a show, or like also love like when someone tells me about like a sitcom or something that I haven't watched, that's just shit. And there's like five seasons or something like that. You just get to know the characters' voices. I can walk away or like look on my phone or like do something else. And then I'm also like a huge reality TV person for the exact, for the exact same reason. I love anything shitty on reality TV shows, like Housewives, Bring It On, Below Deck. Oh yeah. I don't know what it is. I love watching people just do nonsense. Like, I just think it's so funny.
I agree. I think reality TV is the shit.
I don't know. I'm not like, I have so many things on my mind and things that I like want to do that when I'm watching like TV, it's like, I don't want to be depressed. Okay. Like, like, you know, like I'll watch a documentary like here and there and stuff like that. But like, I'm not in the mood right now. Like it's been years since I've been in the mood to watch like a crazy drama. Cause it like, it's all encompassing for me and it like affects me because I'm like too empathetic or something like that. I'm just like, oh man. And then I just walk around with like a sadness and then I get obsessed and I want to finish it. I have an obsession problem. So it's just kind of like, I need something that that won't take over part of my brain. that just kind of shuts it down. So like, what was the last shitty sitcom I watched? I watched like all of Scrubs recently, all of Gilmore Girls recently, and just like shit like that.
Awesome. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. I basically don't really watch anything with a lot of drama or just like in terms of movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
I don't see the point. Like I used to get why I would spend my life. I did too, but now I'm sort of like, I don't want to spend my time watching this. It's doesn't add anything to my life to watch someone being sad or murdering
like Handmaid's like Tale just, or something. It's like, I don't need that.
Yeah, although Handmaid's Tale is I actually do watch that.
But it's like, did it hurt your soul? Like, you know?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I mean, it does, but...
It's okay. Okay. Like, it's not like I'm against it, but it's like, I need to be in the right mood. I don't know when that will happen, though.
yeah. I'm managing to get through it. But sometimes I will watch things because they're recommended and because I feel like watching them would probably be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like in the long run, even though it is really hard to watch.
Yeah.
An example is that the series on Netflix that tells the story of the five young black men in New York.
Okay.
Decades ago, who were arrested and convicted for the murder of a woman in a park, and they were all innocent, and so they spent most of their lives in prison. Anyway, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I don't really want to watch it because it's uncomfortable and it brings up a lot of shit, and I don't like it. But watching it is important.
Yeah.
So I watch it anyway.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of reality TV show. Yeah. Give me all of the like high school shows.
Totally, yeah.
Anything with high school kids.
Totally. I'm like, the dumber the better. Like, I'll rock down with Riverdale, you know?
And yeah.
I'm like, it's just like some things that's so bad that you're like, it's perfect. It's just like, it's exactly what I need. But the last show I did watch, I think it's called Feel Good or something on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Is this comedian. I think her name is like May. Or sorry, their name is May because they're non-binary. But that wasn't what was happening in the first season. So that's why I got confused. But they're Canadian and like, it's a great show. And Lisa Kudrow's in it. I think it's called Feel Good. I'm so bad at remembering, even though I've watched the whole season, I can't remember the name of the actual show. I don't know why that happens to me all the time. But yeah, Lisa Kudrow, May something. And it's just really good. They're a comedian and they struggle with like addiction issues. And like, it's like a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with a lot of like actually heavy things, but it's actually, there's like a lot of funny things in it, and both seasons are really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was like the last thing I was like, this was a good time. I really enjoyed that. That's like right down my alley. It's great and engaging and like dark and funny.
Okay. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. I think it's
Feel Good. Have a look. Feel Good. Well, I mean, I'll just look up May something.
May something. Lisa Kudrow something.
Yeah. That's what I'll do. Two final questions.
It is called Feel Good. I'm so right. I'm so right.
It is.
Look at me.
Well done.
Awesome.
Look at that. Great memory. So two questions. One, if there's anything that you could say to a younger version of yourself, but not yourself. So someone who is young and is a lot like you when you were younger.
Yeah.
What would that be?
Don't take things so personally. And don't let people make you feel less than, because you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely not.
No. Don't let people dull your sparkle, shit like that. All that stuff. Yeah.
And most importantly, recognize the cool things that are happening in your life.
When they're happening.
Yeah. When they're happening.
Yes.
The things that you achieve.
Yes.
They're very cool and they need to be celebrated.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Yes.
And that is like still something that I have to learn. I'm getting there, but I'm trying. I feel like I'm sort of getting there with this experience that I'm just kind of like, I feel pretty content about it. And I think that's a good feeling, that I don't feel anxious or depressed about it. So the fact that I feel kind of neutral, I feel like that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's progress.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Cool. All right. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of laughter, I have to say. You brought a lot of laughter into the space.
Awesome.
So I'm sure you do that everywhere you go.
Kinda.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your time and words and stories and your humor. Do you have any final thoughts as we wrap this up?
I'm just gonna be like cheesy, like, I don't know, follow your dreams. Like, if you think you can't do something, like, you really can. It just understand that a lot of what you want still will take work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Unless you're being handed things.
Unless you're being handed things, but like, yeah, I try not to think about those people. I'm talking about the hard workers, the people
Yeah.
Maybe don't want to go for things because they think they're not the right kind of person.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Because they can.
Yeah.
And you are definitely an example of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was really fun.
Yeah. Good luck teaching.
Thank you. I'm going there right now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
And that was Tat from Tat's House. Tat's House, you are going to want to go visit Tat at Tat's House in Vancouver. I believe it's in Gastown, but I'm not entirely sure. Just Google it. Tat, T-A-T, House, H-A-U-S. You'll also find all of the ways in which you can connect in the description, of course, which you probably already know because you clicked and, you know, press play to listen to this episode. But anyway, wow, that was a lot of fun. A lot of sincere laughter, a lot of sincere sense of humor and approach to life, which is a truly beautiful thing, especially in the face of things that are challenging, in the face of barriers or things that can feel like barriers. It's just absolutely incredible. What an amazing person. You all need to go and meet Tat. You all need to go to Tat's House and get yourself some makeup, eyelashes, get your nails done, get some therapy for free, and meet some other people that are probably fun as well. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And, you know, we'll be back soon with another one. Catch you next time on the Almas Podcast.